Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
Welcome, everyone, to this, our 60th episode of Level 117. Woo-hoo! And we have a full house tonight.
No kidding.
Here in the studio. Jason Hunt here, along with the usual gang of meddling kids plus a few. We'll go around the table here. Maya Aids joins us. Timothy Harvey.
It's very crowded in here.
It is. Dan Handley is here.
Hello.
And newcomers to at least this show, Christopher Pryor.
Hello there.
And Mr. Curtis Smith.
It smells like cabbage.
Curtis, of course, joins Tim on Team Zombie as part of the group that discusses the Walking Dead franchise for us here.
It's a very strange thing to have to say, too. The Walking Dead franchise, it is now a thing.
Isn't it?
Isn't
it something? But this particular show, we are talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, primarily, most of the stuff that happens on TV especially. And next week, the 29th, is when the season premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Drops on ABC, and we will be back into our regular weekly schedule from there. So I thought we could just take a little bit of time this week and go through the stuff we know, the stuff we think we know, the stuff we wish we know, stuff we don't know if we know. Expectations, speculations, and regurgitations, and somewhere along the way, we're going to get us some coffee.
Oh,
and go.
Oh,
Sky.
No, no.
I know
it's going to happen.
But no. Wait. He will say that, and then she'll correct him that she's not Sky anymore. And then it'd
be like, because Ward doesn't know yet.
And then we'd be like, fine, Daisy. Yeah.
No, at that point he'll go, Daisy.
And then the wall will break open, and her father will be standing there, going, "What are you doing with my daughter?
Is there any coffee?
Is there any coffee? And it's damn fine coffee.
So we'll just mash up all of them.
See, that's what I want. The Twin Peaks Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover.
That'd be fun. Now, we have seen...
You really shouldn't have them do the Daisy song like that unless you're going to have the monolith slit scan.
That actually could work, though, because it's Mr. Hyde could be Bob. He's possessed. This is not impossible. Right. You could actually do this.
It could work.
Huh.
So anyway, Gemma Simmons. Yeah. Maya threw that name out there. Gemma has disappeared.
She didn't disappear.
She got gobbled.
She got gobbled up by the Kree monolith.
They're going to think she disappeared, I suppose, but...
They actually said that they're one of the story synopses coming up is got them getting in touch with an Asgardian, an unnamed Asgardian. Probably not Sif, considering she's off being tattooed.
Right.
and with help with the monolith thingy to get her back. So they think they know. Well, then she knows she got gobbled.
An unknown source recently quoted the monolith as saying, "Delicious."
I nom, think
tastes like candy.
No, actually, I think she's going to taste like squirrel. She's going to come back as Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl, guys. It will happen.
I want to see that. That'd be awesome.
Gemma Simmons is Squirrel Girl.
That would be.
I mean, they're changing
Christmas.
Up everything else.
She,
why not?
She has to be the one to defeat Thanos.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, exactly. She,
that's the whole setup right there.
See, Josh Brolin strides onto screen and suddenly a squirrel flies out of nowhere and hits him right in the face and he goes down and she stands up. She's got the Infinity Gauntlet on.
Yes.
Did you see Brolin was almost Batman instead of Affleck?
I could see that, and at the same time,
Couldn't see that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with Affleck. I think Brolin, well, I mean, they're both of an age, so yeah, I think either one of them would work.
But as quality of actor, I mean, there's just no question that Josh Brolin would kill that.
But would he be able to hold the screen next to Cavill? Is the problem. You're putting him up against Henry Cavill, who's just this huge monster of guy. He's already been Superman.
Yeah, but...
Well, Affleck's taller than Cavill as it is.
Yeah, a little bit. But we really still have not seen... How much has he done acting-wise? I mean...
Brolin?
No, Cavill. Because we really haven't seen him do a whole lot.
Man from Uncle.
Man of Steel.
Man from Uncle is the film that apparently not too many people saw, but it actually was really very entertaining.
Was it?
But he's immortal.
He
was in Immortals.
He's very funny in Man from Uncle.
Yeah.
But
how much of that is Guy Ritchie?
Well,
and the writing and the fact that it's a Guy Ritchie picture.
It's an actor, and a lot of it's the writing. That's called giving the performance of what you've been scripted. That's called that's acting.
How dare you
general.
Say that? What a concept! I'm done.
But no, yeah. So it's. I mean, Brolin would be very, very interesting in the part. I think that I'd almost want to have. You know what I'd like to see if you're going to do that? I realize he's not. I don't know. I'm not sure if he's actually younger or older than Affleck, but he comes across as older. I mean, he's got that. He's got just the way his face looks. He seems older.
Yeah.
And so I think you'd almost want to have an older Superman.
Oh, like what if he comes
John
back
Hamm.
As Jonah Hex?
See,
bring him back as Jonah Hex.
Well, okay, get Jonah Hex right this time. Sure, that'd be great.
You know what?
Not make the Wild Wild West of DC movie, DC Comics movie.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about Marvel.
And we will, finally get a giant spider in a Superman movie.
Well, keep in mind, speaking of spiders, let's bring him back around. You guys see that Peter Parker is going to be 15 years old in Civil War.
Saw that.
There is something I ran across, and I didn't get a chance to really get into it. Apparently, Spider-Man, there's a rumor that he's going to be an urban legend type when he shows up in Civil War. Nobody's going to know if he's real or not.
He was already mentioned in Ant-Man, though.
Well, no.
It was indirect.
Well, except they made it very, very clear that they weren't specifically meaning to reference Spider-Man. They didn't make it clear in the film, but the people behind the film made that clear. So
right, because at the time they were making Ant-Man, they didn't have the deal in place yet.
Okay.
So unless you're total geeks and you go around listening to what people behind the movie say,
I mean, like
you won't
which is what everybody here should be doing all the time.
Yes, but I'm saying is that the general public that saw the movie
would say it's Spider-Man.
They're not going to be privy to that.
Right.
Wait, are you implying that the general public may not be as steeped in comic book lore as we are?
I'm saying they probably don't spend quite as much time
that's why we're paid the big bucks, right?
All the bucks.
Yeah. Yes.
All
yes.
the big bucks.
And when I put ink in the printer, I can print them bigger.
He pays us in coffee, you know that.
It's
coffee and love.
Yeah, I need...
Sky.
Can I get an adult, please? I need an adult. And some coffee.
But here's
I'm not going to give you that kind of love.
Here's the great thing about what we get paid.
Don't look at me.
We
can
get raises real easy.
Here.
And regularly.
Oh, yes, regularly.
But, you know, they're attached to performance. So,
but it is recession-proof.
Yes.
But how are they... Question.
Yes. Go ahead.
How would they do that? Turn Spider-Man into an urban legend?
I don't know.
We've had so much of him not being an urban legend. You
have to remember, though, Spider-Man has not existed in the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet.
Right.
So
this is his first
into a
time.
New universe.
Okay.
Because all of the movies up until now have been Sony. They've been separate. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have all of those movies fine and whatever, but we're basically clean slate square one as far as Spider-Man goes now because all of those other stories.
Third
don't
reboot
exist.
In 10 years
yeah,
is
exactly,
you know.
And they
makes
they've,
him totally
they,
new.
They've killed Uncle Ben enough times.
Yeah.
They don't need to do it again.
Oh, no. We will get a flashback.
No, I saw that we're not going to get
at some point in the future, we will have a flashback.
We will have a new,
slightly older named actor who's showing up for a day,
you know,
and getting a decent
do.
Paycheck to die.
Somebody should do a mashup like they did with the Wayne murder.
Yeah.
As many times as we've seen that, somebody should do that with Uncle Ben's murder and see if there's as many of those in the Spider-Man stories as there are in the Batman stories. Because how many times have we seen that in either one of them now?
Well, do we have to count? Can we count just the movies, or do we have to count the animated stuff too? Because I mean, there's been
The mashup, the Wayne murder mashup, did all of them. So it did animated stuff. It did TV.
What about
comic
books? Are you going to include comics?
No, not the comic. It was just film media.
Motion
comics.
Something. Yeah. Well, yeah. If you got a motion
3D
comic, it's moving.
Can go. Yeah.
Barbie doll reenactments.
Uncle Ben.
It could be done.
I believe they're called action figures in this case.
Not when Dustin and Molly do it.
Okay. Has there ever been an Uncle Ben action figure?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, you could substitute.
He doesn't last long enough to have any action.
You know what you could substitute?
it would have bullet holes all over the front.
It comes with its own tombstone.
And it's got a sound chip.
You can stand over it going.
With great power comes great responsibility. And just push that button, and then he says it and he falls over. But in lieu of that, you could substitute the old Steve Austin $6 Million Man figure, because that could work as Uncle Ben maybe.
Well, the problem is that he comes the Steve Austin. You got the cool little eye thing you can look through, and the bionic arm, and that's what we need: bionic Uncle Ben.
Just
the next reboot.
I think they were Kenner. They released a bunch of Star Trek ones. You just get to the old William Shatner, put some gray hair on him, a little suit.
There you go.
Well, be fine.
Oh, you mean the Omigo?
The Omigo.
Omigo stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I had a few of those when I was a kid.
I believe back in the 90s with Wizard Magazine, they had the Ashcan comic of Deadpool, which they actually brought them back, Aunt May and Uncle Ben, in order for Deadpool to gun them down again.
Zombie Uncle Ben. Next.
Well, hey, Walking Ben. they've done Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
And DC's done their zombie line. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, everybody does a zombie version. Everybody does a musical episode. So I'm still waiting for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter to do their Dub Smash musical episode crossover.
Okay, well, no. See, Agent Carter, it'll be 1940s music. That'll be your
Roger
Hammerstein.
Yeah.
Will be your
swing stuff.
American songbook kind of stuff.
Here comes Agent Carter. Yeah, he's walking down the street.
Yep.
Exactly. you can do the dubstep stuff with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you also want to be careful with that because, a little dubstep is too much.
No, not the dubstep. The dub smash. The stuff that they've been doing
The crazy kids are doing on the social media with their newfangled phones and interwebs and things like that. Yes. Yeah.
What is this? What is this TV with a keyboard here? I can't get my normal channel.
Yeah. Where's PBS?
Hey, guys, well, we've gone way, 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 way off target.
That's okay.
You've met us, right?
Yes, that's why I'm drawing you back. Come on, let's come back. Let's talk about what we were supposed to talk about.
Spider-Man, urban legend.
Yes. 15 years old, high school.
Cool.
I think it'll be early
career stuff. No one's really sure. Did he,
everybody's
the only
really
anyone's
excited.
Interested in.
Did he take a home ed class?
It's back when the only people who cared about him was the Daily Bugle.
Well, but there's a rumor that Stark's the one who gives Image web shooters in this new continuity because Parker's a kid and he's smart, but he's not like,
Stark gives him some sort of an upgrade, and maybe at some point in the future we see Iron Spider.
God, I hope.
Maybe not in Civil War, but Marvel Spider-Man 2, maybe we get Iron Spider.
I kind of hope not.
Me too.
Depends on how much he's in the movie, because at this rate, now that they've completely cut the cord as far as like where all the money's coming from,
yeah.
they for the big climactic battle, if there's enough Spider-Man before Act 3, they'd absolutely go for Iron Spider.
Well, Civil War, he's just going to get a cameo.
Well, that's good, because every single person is in that movie. I'm in that movie. I'm not even part of the Marvel Universe.
Now, Sebastian Stan,
come on.
Now, Sebastian Stan has said that, yes, it's everybody thinks that it's Avengers 2.5, but it's really still a Captain America movie.
Just everybody else is in it with him.
And the only thing that I can think of from that is it's going to be a lot of these guys are going to be in and out. Just they're going to get a scene. They're going to pop in. They're going to go away. Somebody else is going to pop in.
Just cameos. So it's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be Cap, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and Black Widow as the primary core on one side or the other. Then of course you got Iron Man and I don't know.
Apparently,
apparently
Thor is not going to be in it, is what they were saying.
Yeah, right. He's doing his whole Ragnarok spiel.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's coming next. Mm. Is the whole Vision, you know, all of the Force visions and the peyote hallucinations.
It's only the end of the world again.
Right. Yes. As we know it.
But I feel fine.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'd feel better if there was coffee.
It's brewing. It's brewing. All right. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gemma Simmons is going to be Squirrel Girl.
Mm-hmm. Coulson has the new hand. New detachable hand.
Yeah. Yep.
Detachable?
Well, there's a photograph.
Is this kind of like a Go-Go Gadget?
Yeah, it's he's going to be the new Inspector Gadget.
Cool.
That would be.
That would be Director Gadget at this point.
Yeah,
it's got a built-in fire extinguisher and an LED light.
Okay.
I'm just going to let y'all go.
So what I read was that there's a big break in time between where the last one ended, six months later,
everybody has pretty much abandoned the search for Gemma except for Fitz.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's Fitz.
So are they going to address how many people died consuming all those fish capsules, fish oil capsules?
I don't think...
Well,
that's still up in the air because there's a question of whether or not that's actually going to kill anybody.
Because there was such a small part of it.
Well, that's going to be the Marvel Universe X gene.
Yeah.
And the Inhumans are basically going to take the place of mutants for the Marvel MCU, Universe. Yeah. Because the X-Men and all the mutant
I'm
stuff is on
I'm just wondering if they're going to address... I mean, that was the last shot in the last episode.
But we're going to see a lot more of these characters popping up.
Yeah, that's going to play out through the season.
These new powered people are going to pop up because of that.
And the other thing that I found curious in the last part of that episode was you didn't see any fish turning to stone, so it doesn't affect fish.
Fish are naturally immune, I guess.
So no,
fish are
aliens.
All inhumans?
This is true.
Fish are aliens.
Ah.
They're all babelfish, and they're already prepared to translate. So,
those are bigger than babelfish.
You've got babelfish.
Those would not fit in my ear.
We've only seen one tiny little babelfish. We have not seen like a huge selection. This is like the full aquarium
size.
So you think
that they get bigger than the ones that go in your ear?
Not everyone's ear is the same size.
Well, it depends on the size of your ear.
Yeah, you've got that. Plus, you've got the fact that some of those have been placed here by the ancient ones. They serve Cthulhu.
Mm. Right.
And then you've got some that are probably from Atlantis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
spying for Namor.
There's at least four or five different versions of Atlantis, so, you know, got a whole lot.
Well, these are Namor's fish.
So all of these fish are aliens.
Yes.
And that's why none of them turned to stone.
But they taste delicious, so...
Yeah.
And
especially with chips.
We can't understand what they're saying, so it's okay to eat them.
Delicious aliens. Aliens never tasted so good.
That's right.
When did I lose control? When I hit record.
They're great with custard.
Do you have the illusion that you were ever in control?
Those steps right there? That was when you kind of lost
control. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's probably
so it's true. likely that she's not going to be back this first episode next week.
No. I'm thinking we're...
She and Rock are one.
I give it two or three.
Unless Fitz is going nuts again.
Well, if what Tim says it plays out for any amount of time with the Asgardian trying to figure this thing out, then we'll have a mini arc to bring the Asgardian in and figure out the block. And
remember, we've had one episode of our Asgardians. Every time the Asgardians have shown up, they've shown up for one episode.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's an Asgardian. Hi there.
Yes.
To do
but
not much.
An Asgardian that's not played by somebody from the movies is going to be cheaper, so you can keep them for more than one
episode. Well, that's true. Well,
so,
If Ragnarok is building up and then we're going to have a crossover with Asgardians, is this going to kind of cross over into Ragnarok early on?
I don't think so at this point. I think this season is going to concentrate specifically on the Secret Warrior storyline from the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a lot of Inhuman buildup. We're going to get some play into Civil War with the Registration Act and all that mess. So, and I think if they do it right, they can tell those two stories in tandem with the same pieces. Because when Lash shows up as the bad guy this season, being an Inhuman. Oh, if we'd only known where he was, and if we'd only known that he existed, and if we'd only had him on the registry, then we would have been able to prepare. And I think that's where you're going to get that intersection between the two storylines building into Civil War. And we're not going to have to spin our wheels for half a season until the movie comes out.
Man, I hope not.
And then, oh, yes, now we told our story. Now, the movie's out. We can keep going.
Craig. I'm from Asgard. Let's solve some mysteries.
Clues?
I would like to see that. That would be really
the
funny.
The Asgardian named Craig?
That's right.
Yes.
I carry this stick around.
Well,
it doesn't do anything.
I would like to see.
He's the Asgardian equivalent of a redneck.
Well,
I'm guessing.
I would like to see.
Use your words.
Help me. Curtis? Warehouse 13. What's his name?
McClintock?
Yes, Eddie McClintock. Come back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Kree, not an Asgardian, but I'd still. I think, since you've already established him in the universe, it would be smart to figure out a way to bring him back.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than an Asgardian trying to figure out this Kree artifact, bring in a Kree. And then you have the potential.
Well, that just makes way too much sense.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, I know. But it also gives you a way to connect the show with Guardians of the Galaxy, at least tangentially.
Mm-hmm. Makes too much sense.
Great. The season's going to be Inhumans, most of it. It's going to be Secret Warriors, and that's what they're going to concentrate on, which I think is a good thing, because if they start to go off in 6,000 different directions like they did in season one. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to completely spend away all of the goodwill that they've built up now, that they've earned. Well,
yeah, I don't know. My biggest gripe about season one with the episodes that I want my time back, where they were just wasting it. That's my...
Well, yeah. Okay, but
not that they were going in too many directions, just that they weren't doing much of anything.
Well, and that's actually what makes me concerned for Civil War.
Yeah,
because
I'm worried that we're going to be waiting.
In both first and second season, we've had this tie-in to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the first season, it almost killed the show, waiting to tie into the movie.
But it was a big tie-in.
It was a big tie-in, but the problem is that they dragged their feet so long to get there that they lost audience.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Second season, the problem was that we had this giant build-up to the great thing that Coulson was doing in secret.
Oh, yeah.
Da-da. And he basically... was getting a ride for Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's that was it.
That's it? That's the...
And then they come
that's
back.
That's the thing?
They come
what's
back
happening?
To S.H.I.E.L.D.
Seriously,
in 30 seconds.
I think what they ended up doing...
that up. Yeah,
I think what they ended up doing is they had the pendulum swung so far one way in season one that they overcompensated and they went back the other way too far in season two.
Right.
I think
because in season two they also built it up. They built it up so much that you expected a big payoff.
Exactly.
And then there wasn't
because,
any payoff.
And I think part of that was because the fans that actually stuck with the show in season one, once Captain America came out and everybody went, oh, I see what happened, then the producers are like, okay, well, we have to give them a hint that something's coming so they stay with us. So they know that we're building up for a piece of the movie and we're going to tie in. Because everybody was like, how's this going to tie into the movie this year? Because now we've set a precedent. Because season one, you tie into the movie. Season two, how are we going to tie into the movie? So they have to put something in there. And of course, their hands are still tied because nobody wants to let the cat out of the bag that Coulson's still alive in the movies,
which is stupid.
Yeah,
I still say this: that scene should have basically been, and this is where you get your real crossover moment: is the helicarrier pulls up, everyone's like, and Coulson sits there and goes, "Come with me if you want to live," and and Captain America goes, "Aren't you dead?" And he goes, "Well, you were too," and you know, get on the boat, and then it'd be like Cat going, "Okay, good point."
Or it'd be,
it's like Missy. Not dead, you know, doesn't matter, yada, yada, yada. Just keep going.
Move on.
It's like he pulls up in a helicarrier and says, no time to explain, get in.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of time, is it
coffee time?
It's coffee time.
Yes.
We've gone for a little bit. We are going to take a break. Just a reminder to everyone that this show is going to be weekly from here out, and We do like to hear from you out there in the listening audience. So if you'd like to participate in the conversation, give us your comments or thoughts or suggestions or questions, or even tell us that we need to stay on topic a little bit more, send us an email.
You
can tell us that, yes. And we do read every comment, every note. We listen to all the messages.
All five of them.
Yeah.
We got five?
I know!
Success!
Yes, the email address.
I feel validated.
The email address is level1187@scifi4me.com. You can call our hotline, which is area code 573-42-SCIFI, or you can leave comments on all the social media. And when we get back, we're going to talk about what we'd like to see in this upcoming season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as Agent Carter. And we'll try to stay a little bit more focused on topic because we'll have coffee when the show returns after this break.
We're not puny gods, just puny podcasters. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we. And some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-FiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% hydro-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 117, Jason Hunt here along with Maya Aids.
Yodia.
Christopher Pryor.
Hello.
Curtis Smith.
Smell cleared up a little bit.
I don't even know what Dan Handley.
Hello.
To.
Timothy Harvey.
Curtis is actually sitting on my lap. And I just want you to know, it's very crowded down here. It's a bunker, folks. Hey, this is not like a giant room. This is a tiny little space.
But the Walking Dead guys are just that friendly.
Well, we are. And you should see it's when Dustin is on the couch with us too, it's all very, very,
very
cozy.
Oh,
very cozy, very friendly.
Well, Curtis is very cuddly.
Curtis is quite
a big mush ball.
He is.
I'm currently being indicted for that.
So. Which explains why his presidential campaign is over.
is that what that ankle thing is that's beeping on you? Anyway,
I can't hear well.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What do we want to see in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season?
I know what I want to see.
Oh, okay, what do you want to see?
Squirrel Girl.
Besides Squirrel Girl. Okay, so... The Tahiti.
Mm-hmm. The
Project,
Tahiti Protocol.
The magical
Protocol,
place.
Protocol,
yes.
Protocol, and they did that on Dr. Hyde, and it didn't go well with some other people. I'm wondering what's going to happen to him.
You want Hyde back?
Well, I do too. I don't think that is going to be a permanent. In fact, I'm not even sure if he might just be acting when we saw him in the last part of the last episode.
Well, we won't find out until Twin Peaks is done.
Right.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because really, I mean that's one of the things that we ran into with BJ Britt leaving the show, because you know Triplett died because he is an actor and he got another job and he had to leave the program. Everybody's like, "Oh, you killed a black guy!" And he's just like, "No, that's The Walking Dead."
they killed
the guy who had to leave the show because of his contract. You know, it didn't have anything to do with it. But I think Kyle MacLachlan. I would love to see him come back. He would probably do it.
As long as
the schedules line up.
He was one of the best things of last season.
Yeah, he really truly was.
And he plays a part so well.
he helped sell the idea of Sky being Daisy. Because you have all of this Sky hate going into the second season, and you know even Tim was one of these that just throw her down a well and don't tell Lassie, you know, and
I'm second, Timmy, for the love of God, you know.
But second season she was a much stronger character, much more focused and with an actual purpose.
She actually was one of the primary victims of the problems of season one.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
If you're gonna spin your wheels for 2/3 of your season, and you're going to build it around the audience surrogate character,
I wonder if they just hurt her badly. Yeah, I wonder if they knew she was going to be Daisy when they brought her into the show.
I don't think they know what they're doing week to week.
That's Gotham.
They already had the Inhumans planned, or at least it penciled in. Back then, so they had to know some way that they were going to bring the character in.
The movie, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to bring in a specific character in one place or another.
Maybe they didn't know that Sky was going to be Quake, but I'm pretty sure that they knew Quake was going to be part of it.
Well, I don't know.
But I do think that they used her in season one so much to build her up. I think that she got so much screen time in season one to give her more confidence and more screen time. To build her as an actor,
you're talking about Chloe Bennett as the performer. Yeah. That's possible.
I think it was a part of grooming her as an actor.
I really feel like
she would be able to handle.
That's
more
a big
later.
Risk for a show to take.
Yes, it was.
Uh-huh. Well,
I'm not sure that it worked well for them because they lost a lot of audience. Spinning their wheels on stories that didn't do a lot, but I think
in one of the early episodes where she went undercover. You know, the one where she jumped into the pool?
Right.
I thought she did pretty well in that one, and that was an early episode.
Right.
Well, look at the last third of the season, and you look at a good chunk of the second season, and you know she can act. Mm-hmm. You know she can play the part. You know that Sky can be an interesting character.
Yes.
Pre-Daisy. I think
they did some grooming on her as an actress.
Well, they certainly may have, but I also think that the biggest sin of season one was thinking they had to tie that into a movie.
Both movies didn't. Wasn't the Thor movie also a tie in there?
Where we sort of.
But it wasn't. It was the acknowledgement that it existed.
We didn't wait for it, but there
but
was.
But you
like
also
a
have to remember now
again.
That season one and season two were both under the auspices of the creative committee. Mm-hmm. As was the movies. Mm-hmm. And now that's not the case. Going into phase three, Kevin Feige and Marvel Studios, they're off answering to Alan Horn at Disney now. It's a direct relationship that now no longer involves Ike Perlmutter, Brian Michael Bendis, Axel Alonso, any of the guys at Marvel Comics. So that creative committee that says... Nobody buys Black Widow action figures, Ike Perlmutter. I mean, that was the big thing. That was, and everybody, and apparently the creative committee was the reason why Edgar Wright left Ant-Man. because there were too many cooks in the kitchen. There were too many people sitting there trying to put their fingerprints on this thing, saying, well, we need this, and we need this, and we need this, and we need this, and you got to have this kind of thing over here and this over here. And Ike Perlmutter sitting there going, nobody buys Black Widow stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, girls don't buy action figures. And really putting a lot of roadblocks and speed bumps in the whole creative process. Add to that the long, drawn out, how long does it take to get feedback? Right. You know, you do script revisions or you do scenes and something has to be changed and how many people have to weigh in on their opinions and stuff. All of that's now gone.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, do they have the ability now for the different parts of Marvel to communicate and things to tie in the way that they did before that?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is now that the movies are disconnected in terms of the creative process, the movies go their own way. Joss Whedon, of course, is not doing anything with the movies anymore. I don't know how much he's going to be involved in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter. Okay. But the creative committee that hamstrung a lot of the movie guys' stuff, they're still kind of a little bit connected with the TV, but there's now no longer this requirement for them all to talk to each other.
Right.
It would be a smart thing for them to do. You know, at least from the standpoint of the TV shows have to backstop the movies. But since the creative teams are completely independent of each other now, I don't know that there's as much of a critical need. You must play these scenes to go here by this date, so we have the movie come out and all that. I think there's going to be a little bit less of that stress on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., at least past Civil War. I don't know, leading up to Civil War, there may be some more of that still. But it actually works, because if they play Season 3 out like we're expecting it to, then it'll go right into Civil War with no problem. Mm-hmm. Because they're playing the long game on Inhumans, so they can play that out for however long they want, and in the meantime, they can build up the whole Registration Act part of it. Going into Civil War and
the backside of it. Well, they kind of started setting that up in Season 2, registration.
Yeah, because you've got a little bit of that already.
They kept talking about the index. Mm-hmm. You've got to get, you know, are you on the index? Are you registered? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
And that actually goes back to some stuff that we saw in Winter Soldier when they start talking about keeping track of everybody, because that's when we heard about Stephen Strange for the first time. That's when Amadeus Cho was referenced, not mentioned by name, but you had all of these other characters that showed up, because you had the graphic and the animations and stuff, so you had the list. Everyone, that's already there.
Right.
So Season 3 is going to play into that, and I think on the backside of Agent Carter, when the mid-season break happens and we come in on the back half of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's when we get to play with fallout from Civil War.
Man, I hope it's more than a 30-second thing.
I think it will be. I think it will be.
That felt like such a letdown. I was upset about that.
I want to see how May acts when she gets back from her vacation.
Well, we've pretty much established, I think, in the little bits of story information we have, the new episodes, that she's in that point where she's deciding whether she's going to continue on with S.H.I.E.L.D. And if she leaves the show, I'm done. I don't know. There's no point in going on.
Leaving?
I'm just saying that
she's not leaving.
It needs the cavalry.
Especially when Mockingbird and Hunter go split off on their own show.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have either May and Coulson in the main show, or you're going to have at least one of them, but you got to have the two, because by that time it's just going to be Coulson and May and Daisy. Mm-hmm. Because there isn't anybody else that's strong enough, really.
Right. And is Daisy actually being prepped to spin off another show? Or
no, that was what we were thinking was going to happen when they were starting to talk about another show, a spinoff. And then we found out, it's going to be a Mockingbird show.
They
and then
set that up
it
much.
Wasn't. Mm-hmm. and now it's back on again. So, you see, and that's another thread that's got to play out in season three, is the setup for that.
Well, Gemma may be strong enough if she comes back as Squirrel Girl.
That's a possibility, yes. But
okay,
I think
Mockingbird. Is Squirrel Girl Kree?
No.
Then why do you guys keep saying that?
Because it would be awesome.
Funny. It would be.
Because Squirrel Girl is the best throwaway character ever to come out of Marvel and turn into completely not a throwaway character.
She's beat Thanos.
She has beat Galactus. She has beat...
She took out Doctor Doom.
She took out Doctor Doom single-handedly, we might add.
Yeah.
Hasn't she been able to wield Mjolnir?
So she does.
Can she hold the hammer?
Flipping her
she
tail.
Might actually have held the hammer, yeah.
Which I wouldn't be surprised if she held the hammer.
Sounds wrong.
Hey, you remember that?
You want to hold the hammer?
Well, okay. You remember that joke that Ming-Na made on...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, May knows how to hold Thor's hammer.
Oh, jeez.
That's on our YouTube channel.
I'm still trying to figure out how Agent May vacations. What must be like.
She's off with, is it Blair Underwood?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's off with Blair Underwood doing the naked time.
They probably joined a...
Two beautiful people off on a beach, yeah. It's
a fight club in Thailand or something.
She didn't have to pike a lot.
It's something that does not work well for Disney. They
made a point of showing that she wasn't packing too much.
I know, uh-huh. That's what I mean. So, the little red skimpy something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of red hats, let's switch over to Agent Carter for a second. They're going to move to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably going to take the whole team with her.
Blew out the whole place where they were.
Hey, there's still some beautiful 1940s architecture in L.A. That would just be really cool if they can get it to... They'll have to CG some stuff in there, but it could look really neat.
If they bump forward in time a little bit, she can meet Joe Friday.
Who would you cast as Joe Friday now?
Oh, you know, that's such a question.
Because
have the balls and just go for Dan Aykroyd again.
Yeah.
Well, in this day and age, given what they're doing with Rogue One, you could digitally put in Jack Webb.
No. Stop. No. Cease with the digital reviving of actors. Stop.
No, nothing but digital reviving.
Weren't they supposed to digitally revive Bruce Lee for a movie? They never did?
Well, let's see. There were a number of films after Bruce Lee died that had Bruce Lee starring in them where he didn't actually appear. And they had a lot of different actors who were calling themselves Bruce Lee.
Oh.
Different spellings.
Well, it
was after Forrest Gump.
Bruce Lee's family
gave permission.
I'm talking about...
To digitally use him in a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
I think... It wasn't The Crow, but there was something, I don't know if it was a project that involved Brandon as well, that they were going to bring him in digitally and do something or not. I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
I just knew about Bruce being in one. I didn't know any more details than that.
But
one of the variations on the Crow reboot.
Yeah, but now
digital Brandon Lee.
Now what you could do is you could have an all digital cast.
Oh, please stop.
Well, we've had this for years. It's called cartoons.
John Wayne, Marilyn Monroe, Rock Hudson, Elvis Presley, and James Dean.
And which Marvel team would they
as
be?
What?
The live action Flintstones.
They're Alpha Flight.
But that would be over at Fox. But that's not beside the point.
See, the problem is that at some point they'd want to bring back Humphrey Bogart, and that's just blasphemy. So,
well, then you could remake Casablanca with digital Humphrey Bogart.
All right, who is closer? Because you need to stab him.
You know that's coming.
They've remade Casablanca.
I know.
And David Soul. David Soul. Let me say that again. David Soul.
Yes, not right. I know.
Ugly thing.
I have concerns that there, you know, the Rogue One. I mean, if anybody can do it, it's Industrial Light and Magic.
I know.
And we're going to get it in Rogue One. I just hope that they don't look at it and say, oh, look at what we can do now with the thing. And let's put the thing on all the thing and have it in everything now. because you know that's what's going to happen, because that's what happened in the Star Wars prequels.
What is he talking about?
So in the prequels, Australian actor Wayne Pygram, who's Scorpius from Farscape,
brilliant.
They made him up as Grand Moff Tarkin, okay, and they also digitally enhanced him so he looked more like Peter Cushing.
Oh.
Now, in Rogue One, the second of the Star Wars movies.
Which is the prequel that happens right before Star Wars. This is the theft of the Death Star plans. What happened to those plans?
And they are talking about, basically, it's going to be a digital Peter Cushing. So we're going to get Grand Moff Tarkin looking like Grand Moff Tarkin from the film.
Not a cameo.
It's not a cameo.
He figures into the story. So this is going to be
Grand
a major...
Moff?
Moff. M-O-F-F. Grand Moff. Governor Tarkin is going to figure into the Rogue One story more than a cameo, which means somebody is going to be playing that part, and they're going to have dots all over their faces, and the ILM is going to come through. And
hopefully it's not going to be all Uncanny Valley from, you know.
I don't know. It worries me.
Well, I mean, okay, the Jeff Bridges and Tron...
Jeff Bridges playing Jeff Bridges.
Hold on, but they did it with Jeff Bridges and Tron. Yeah. They did it with Michael Douglas and Ant-Man.
And it worked
pretty well in Ant-Man. So the technology is better now, but...
And they're also doing it in Furious 7 at the end.
Yeah, with Paul Walker. Yeah. Yeah. The thing about it is, though, the thing that concerns me is that we're going... Because actors, up until this point, there has not been ever... the possibility of you appearing in something after you die. Mm-hmm. So,
we're now
at a point where you could do an entire film, cast all stand-ins,
all dead people,
and digitally put faces on everybody. I mean, we're not quite there yet, but we're almost there. So, how do you credit that? Are you going to give credit to Peter Cushing as Grand Moff Tarkin, or are you going to have, like, you know, Peter Cushing as the face and Pegram as the body, and give them both credit?
Well, they might treat it just like, say, what they do with Darth Vader, where one person's the body, another's the voice.
Okay.
Could be.
I can just imagine walking on set.
How about they do with Gollum?
You need to go to the costume department, and they're going to put a green sock over your head. And then you're going to wear a suit, and you're going to stand here. And you're not going to do anything at all. I'll just cash that check then, if you don't mind.
Yeah, and that's what it could boil down to.
I don't know.
Okay, Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we are still in the Agent Disney Carter line.
Okay, so. I'm the only one who said what I wanted to see this season. You guys, go.
In Agent Carter?
No, in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, we got sidetracked on our Agent Carter thing because we were talking about recasting
what?
Joe Friday.
You guys went.
That went horrible.
But we digress.
You got sidetracked the minute I stopped talking. Come on.
Well, why did you stop talking?
This is all your fault.
Okay, bye. It's all my fault.
You're to blame.
It's okay as long as we have somebody to blame, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Can we get Peter Capaldi to show up on Agent Carter?
Oh.
You know, there's the rumor. So here's a little side. Here's another aside quickly. Uh-huh. There's a rumor that he's going to leave at the end of this season because he's going to go direct episodes of American television.
Oh.
Capaldi?
Yeah.
Really?
This is not what's happening. This is a big British rumor
now. This is where Hayley Atwell comes in as the 13th Doctor.
Exactly. So she's going to be, they're going to cast her as the 13th Doctor. And,
Why would he only be on for...
He's staying for a long time. Anytime somebody leaves a show where it's based, you know, it's usually a two-person number. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if Clara's leaving, if Capaldi's got to leave too. No, he doesn't. Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a thing. But yeah, the tie-in is that they were actually talking about him coming over to direct American TV. It's just like, no.
You know, I binge-watched Longmire over the last week and a half.
That show's great.
That's pretty good.
I was really surprised at how many of those episodes were directed by Peter Weller.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, he's a pretty good director. I would like to see Weller get considered to direct a Marvel project? I think that would be an interesting combination.
No.
No?
No.
No?
Weller
Why?
Can direct the next Buckaroo Banzai picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be so much better than directing any Marvel picture. Because the cast is still alive.
And we
and for
and we
not
have been
much
waiting.
Longer, so hurry up.
We are still waiting on that sequel.
I know.
And you can put Lou Diamond Phillips in as the Han. Maybe.
Well, as far as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. go,
James
this
Hong.
Next season, if there's a lot less of this, I never lied to you guys, I swear. Any relationship that Sky or what's her name now?
Daisy.
Damn, I almost said Birdie.
Or Quig.
Close. Any relationship that she has is she doesn't trust anybody, and I just more
well, we've,
explosions.
We've gotten
less
past
of that.
That. Yeah,
we've had. But
yeah, we've
he's
been past
right,
that
though,
for a while.
Everybody has gone through that line.
This doesn't feel like it though.
I mean,
well,
think about
well,
it.
Yeah,
well,
the entire cast
well,
has
Bobby,
been.
Bobby.
You know,
Bobby has
nobody trusts anybody.
Yeah,
everybody
we've had
has that,
but I think we're past that now. I think we've gotten past because.
Oh wait, are they spies? Are we sure?
It doesn't seem like it ended because it went up right toward the end of the season.
Yeah,
well,
we had
Agent May questioning Coulson on whether or not he had been lying, and he's
well because you know he had
her.
To keep quiet about the you know.
Well, I suppose
the helicarrier,
the entire foundation of it is spy
but,
work. I suppose trust is going to be a general theme.
Well,
was,
see, the thing about it is though, you know,
one,
favorite,
they were questioning whatever. May, and if she had been truthful because she was in.
Well, she was keeping an eye on Coulson for Nick Fury. And,
right.
And
but,
that.
So his point about people saying that, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I never lied, that has been said by virtually everybody in the cast.
I know. I mean,
well, here's the thing. Up until this point, we have had two different organizations claiming to be S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've had a director of S.H.I.E.L.D. under alien influence.
Yeah. Yes.
We've had Hydra infiltrate S.H.I.E.L.D.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We've had Mockingbird as a triple agent, basically, double-triple
yes.
agent. So we don't know whose side she's on for a while there. Now I think we're pretty – all of that from these two previous seasons, I think all of that has settled.
You also
all of the
Simmons
all of
doing
the dust
the same.
Is cleared.
You lied to me. I didn't lie to you.
In other words,
you
it,
can't
it was a
me.
S.H.I.E.L.D. show. Is
yeah.
what
but,
it came down to.
But now that all of that, I think, is all of that's all gone. The
I
only
don't
thing,
so.
The
I
only
think it's
thing,
keep coming up.
No. The only
spies.
Thing that keeps going on. The only thing that's going to come back on that is Mac not trusting Coulson. And Coulson is actually using that. They're actually making that a plot device that Mac's experience and what he went through forming the basis of his mistrust of all of this alien gear is what makes him the perfect guardian key master person to safeguard all this stuff to make sure that it doesn't get into the wrong hands. Mm. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of everybody lying to each other this season.
I thought maybe Mac was going to be starting and setting up the whole
he's setting up Warehouse
Civil
13.
War.
No, he's setting up Warehouse 13. He's in charge of maintaining all of the artifacts
Is
and keeping them there.
A different universe?
Yeah, it's a quibble. But
oh,
that's
am I
that,
wrong?
Well, because? he's coming in to you know, he's going to maintain the inventory of the stuff that they get.
We want you to guard all the MacGuffins.
Exactly. and the concentration of the story this season.
What they call that, the sandbox?
So basically when something is
called the sandbox or
yes.
something like that?
When
yeah.
something is being looked over by top men,
yeah.
he's the top man.
Yeah. 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 Top.
He's the guy who lets the top men into the room.
But
yeah,
I think we're going to get
and make sure they leave alive.
The bulk of the season is going to be the Secret Warriors storyline,
yeah.
which is not you lied to me, you lied to me, you lied to me. It's oh, you have powers, come and join our team.
Come
no, you don't want to join our team. Okay, we fight. That's going to be Secret Warriors.
Let them fight.
That's the season, and.
Got to get them all.
You have to remember, too.
Okay, it's official. We need Pokemon. Whim them out.
You have to
Quick,
remember.
I choose you.
It's a slow burn to 2019.
Oh.
Because that's when the Inhumans movie goes.
Just right before the next Avengers movie.
Exactly. So all of this season is just a bit. And that's the thing, is they've got time that they can play with all of this. They can build on everything. And they can take their time to build their team, the Secret Warriors team, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of this, they'd kind of thread back and forth a little bit of the build-up to Civil War. And then the back half is all Inhumans.
As long as it's not a slow burn that just...
I can't work.
This is the Joss Whedon show. The man does not have time on his side.
I
just can't wait for Thor to show up on set for the next Avengers movie, just fat, total alcoholic.
Oh man, Ragnarok really took it out of me.
Well, you do know they're making Ragnarok a musical,
no.
Right?
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok is the rock.
Ragnarok
like
and roll.
It.
it's man,
this
it's
is where we need to sing "End of the World" as we
it's
know
the,
it.
It's the Loki movie. It's the Loki movie is going to be Ragnarok and roll.
Ragnarok.
These are the jokes.
I don't even know if he's joking.
I'm just going to watch it for the costume changes because that's the best part.
Maya, here's the key. If it's one of the movies that Joss Whedon is not involved in, it's probably not going to be a musical.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, see, Whedon's not involved anymore. Whedon's done.
He's tired. He's worn out.
He's done a lot.
Because he had to fight the creative committee just like everybody else.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Which makes me wonder what he would have been able to do if it had just been him and Feige. And...
Everyone is saying, like, "Oh, there's no creative control anymore." But the movies that came out were still pretty
marvelous.
Good, even regardless of all this involvement.
I'm not saying there's no creative control anymore. I'm saying now that there's less
oversight,
bureaucratic interference. Let's say because that has been there's been
fewer administrators.
Red tape.
Yeah, the suits have said, "Well, we need this and we need this," and the reasons for X and Y and Z elements have not had much to do with the actual story that's being told in the movie so much as all of the cross-promotional toys and comic and this and that and the other and stuff. And, oh, you got to tell this to tie into this and tie into that, rather than just concentrate on the movie that they're, you know, the story they're telling in the movie. They're doing all of this other stuff that interferes with that. Because
I'm just remembering the last time that a major science fiction fantasy film franchise had basically cut the strings and said, take all the money and do whatever you want with it. We got the Star Wars prequels. So cut the strings on this one and let them do whatever they want. Just say, here's a blank check, do what you want.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with you on that because here's my theory of what happened with Star Wars.
Okay.
The first Star Wars movie was an indie film. It was a low-budget indie film. George Lucas had limited resources.
The original.
Yeah, the original. Yeah,
the
Star Wars.
The original.
Yeah.
Episode 4, for
no,
those of you who don't
know.
Before it was renamed.
Star Wars.
It's
okay,
the one
so,
that was later renamed.
So here's what happened. Right. You have a low-budget indie film being made in England, backed by a studio who didn't believe in it,
right.
Who didn't think it was going to go anywhere. Lucas himself didn't even think it was going to do anything past the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why he got away with actually getting the toy rights, because no one thought they was
going
to make it.
Right.
Spielberg knew it was going to
be. What toy rights?
All the merchandise, that's what created the whole Lucasfilm empire. That and, you know, the Industrial Light and Magic and that. So Empire Strikes Back, Lucas now decides he's going to finance it himself. And now it's still an indie picture distributed by 20th Century Fox. But up through Return of the Jedi, George Lucas had one thing going for him. He had a guy sitting there telling him, George, you can't do that. And it wasn't a studio suit. It was Robert Watts. And who was the other one?
For heaven's sakes.
He died.
Kasdan?
No, not Kasdan. Help me. Producer. He was a producer.
I don't know.
IMDb.
IMDb.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was saying, we can't do that. And you had
because
this
of budget?
The budget and time, and it's not on the schedule, and we don't have the resources. You got to figure out some way to make it work.
So we had to be more creative, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And for the prequels, Lucas didn't have that guy.
Right.
Lucas had Rick McCallum, who was sitting there going, anything you want, George. Whatever you want, George. And everybody said, whatever you want, George. And that's where the prequels went awry. It wasn't
Gary Kurtz.
Gary Kurtz. Yes,
yeah,
thank you.
Gary Kurtz. I just pulled it up.
The fact that Lucas didn't have somebody in that role for the prequels, that's what the prequels had wrong.
There's one guy that could have said, you know, George, Hayden Christensen kind of sucks.
He's coming back for episode 8, by the way. So for the Marvel stuff, you've still got Feige talking to Alan Horn, and Feige is the guy who's sitting there saying, we only have so much money, and you only have this much time. You know, you've got Feige doing that role that Gary Kurtz did for Lucas, basically saying, this, and you know, the line is drawn here, no father. You know, that's the Marvel studio executive system is doing that. Because how many times have we heard, you know, those guys over at Marvel are just skinflints. I mean, you know, all of that negotiation back and forth is, how are they going to afford Downey now? You know, all the, you know, and all the contracts and stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll never get him back because Downey's going to ask for too much money, and Marvel's going to sit there and go, no. Because they're always been portrayed as being really tight-fisted with their money.
Well, because the whole thing's been run by Perlmutter. He's a penny pincher.
No. But see, but Feige has run the studio. Right. And the thing is that the creative committee guys interfered with that process more than they helped. That's the story that we're getting now, is that Perlmutter, especially Perlmutter, but the other guys as well, you know, I don't know how much Bendis or Alonso or any of those guys had, you know, Joe Quesada and all that, but I would expect that Bendis and Quesada and Alonso were looking at integrity of the source material, mm-hmm, rather than can we sell toys, what are we going to do, profit margin, all that. That was Perlmutter probably doing that part, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Bendis doesn't really give a damn about the toy sales.
No.
That's the least of his concerns.
They're making a Deadpool movie. Bendis doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
You know? He's got Deadpool. So the lack of the creative committee.
Will there be new Deadpool toys?
Deadpool
I'm sure
toys.
There will.
Yeah,
there's already Deadpool too.
I know.
Yeah,
but there
they
be new ones.
There'll
to
be there'll
tie
be new ones.
The
they just won't be necessarily marketed towards children.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They won't.
Well,
they'll come with interesting.
They'll
crops.
Come with a voice chip. And
well, see, and the thing about the Deadpool stuff, this is an opportunity for Marvel to start thinking outside of the box and how they merchandise some of their stuff, because then they've got a different model other than we're going to sell the 14-year-old boys. And then they can go back to Perlmutter,
well,
and they can say...
No. See, but the thing is, Deadpool is still marketing something. You can market Deadpool to 14-year-old boys without any trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, but I'm saying is you're not going to market just to that age group with Deadpool. You're going to have the grown-up market for part of that. And then hopefully some of that statistics, some of that sales statistics will show how much of that component, you know, how much of that audience is composed of women. And they can take that data, and then they can go, okay, women are buying some of this stuff. Now it's time to bring out a Black Widow.
But you know what? Everyone right now is just going to be paying attention to Supergirl because it's on the air.
Yeah. And Supergirl's going to kill Gotham.
So if Supergirl does well, we might get a Black Widow movie?
Well, I'm saying that if Supergirl does well on TV, because TV's a different model than
films. Well, I know, but I'm...
Yeah.
What is it going to take to get Black Widow?
You're going to have... it's going to be Wonder Woman. The Wonder Woman movie.
Uh-huh.
The Wonder Woman movie is either going to...
Do you know when that's supposed to be released?
And then Captain Marvel's also coming out.
18, I think. So
they're shooting her now.
Yeah, Captain Marvel. But the thing is that if it's we run the risk of it being Supergirl the movie over again,
I heard that Supergirl may make an appearance in Man of Steel 2, which I've also heard doesn't actually really exist.
Right. Well, they just had another interview with him where he's talking about that Batman versus Superman is kind of Man of Steel 2.
Right.
Kind of. So, no, well, see, back when the Helen Slater Supergirl came out, the film,
This would be 1986.
1986. Okay. Well, the thing is that it bombed. It bombed bad.
Sadly. I was one of those people who didn't see it.
And it's all your fault, Maya.
Yep.
But the thing is that it killed for 20 years the idea of a female-led superhero film.
That
wow,
and,
I feel
that
really
and,
bad
that
now.
And Catwoman with Halle Berry.
Yeah, those two. Yeah. Those two
that
did
kept
more.
It down.
Yeah, and those are cited in Ike Perlmutter's email that came out of the Sony hack.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "This is why we don't do female lead superhero movies, because
so
these two
movies
from 30 years ago didn't
right.
do well."
And you also had Elektra as well.
It is a terrible, terrible argument.
Yeah, it is.
But that
it's
is
the
see,
argument
because
they're making.
Their demographics has changed.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, 52% of the market now in genre is female. But Perlmutter is the one that was in charge. And now that he's not
right.
so much, except maybe on the TV side of things, then maybe the movie group can actually do a little bit more of that.
Well, in Agent Carter, you've got a female-led show that is in its second season,
mm-hmm.
And it's doing pretty well. I mean, people are looking forward to the second season.
Well, okay. it also does a really good job dealing with the themes that get in the way of that would get in the way of a female-led superhero movie anyway, mm-hmm. which is all the all the sexism and stuff that she has to deal with in her general workplace, where you know,
right? Well, which they kind of beat us over the head with.
You're gonna send that dame on the
well, it kind of came to an end when the Howling Commandos were on. And
no,
they said in front of some of that afterwards.
Well, there were still but she had a new level of respect when they said she's one of us.
That'll also be interesting to see how much they play with that. Because, I mean, the era hasn't changed.
Right.
And the new location hasn't changed. She's still going to, if they want to be true to the time period, she's still going to run into some of that. But she's got a much better support group at this point.
Right. I hope so.
She's surrounded by a lot of male characters who sit there going, yeah, well, she kicked my butt, so shut up.
Yep.
This season. Dude. This what? Season, we can expect to see more broads wearing more pants.
And what? You better like it, because they got guns.
See, the thing that's going to
the gun kind,
the thing that's going to determine whether or not we get a Black Widow movie, other than Scarlett Johansson's availability and willingness to do it, I think she's willing to sign on to do it. You're going to have three things. You're going to have Supergirl on TV, Agent
mm-hmm.
Carter on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman in the movies. And I have said this before. If Wonder Woman tanks, which it's got every possibility that it could, if Wonder Woman tanks, Captain Marvel will be the only other female superhero movie we get for another 10 or 15, 20 years. Because that'll be the modern litmus test that they'll sit there and go, you see, it didn't work 30 years ago. It doesn't work now. We're not going to do another one.
But then what would happen if Captain Marvel did
at
box office?
It won't matter.
Well, because at that point they will sit there and say, well, it's a Marvel movie. Because all the Marvel movies are actually, you know.
Yeah,
because
Guardians of the Galaxy.
They're all the mold, right? So you know, everybody's like, oh.
Nobody
it's
knew.
Gonna, who the, it's going to crash and burn. It's gonna, oh,
and
oh,
that's what
really
they said,
cool.
That's
okay,
what they said about Guardians
yeah,
of the Galaxy.
Exactly.
Because who knows what Guardians of the Galaxy is. Mm-hmm. But it was a Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy, and it did gangbusters. Same with Ant-Man.
It was a good movie.
It did really phenomenal box office the first weekend because it had that Marvel label.
Mm.
Now, they did all of the pre-press and all of the promotion and everything else, and they got the word out, and they got, you know, with the soundtrack and the mix and all of that.
And it was a good movie.
Yes.
It was.
But,
it was so much fun.
But going into it, nobody had any idea who the Guardians of the Galaxy were.
I don't know if you went to any movie for like a year before that.
Well,
you
but
of the trailers.
But you look at, I mean, Iron Man has a 50-year history.
Yeah, people know who Iron Man
you know,
is. People know who Captain America is.
Right.
People know who these.
But Guardians, and in fact, the Guardians of the Galaxy that we got in the movies are not even the Guardians of the Galaxy that most comic
originals.
Book fans actually know who because the Guardians of the Galaxy came out of the 60s, 70s.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, a completely different cast of characters.
Yeah.
So this is the modern version, which had even had a shorter run. So.
But the fact that there was a Marvel,
this
was this iteration was John Byrne's group that came out of the 80s. It wasn't Byrne. It wasn't
no,
John
it
Byrne.
Wasn't Byrne. No.
The fact was Marvel was stamped right there on the top.
Oh, I know.
And Guardians of the Galaxy proved that Marvel could make any story, and people would go see it. Ant-Man did the same thing this year
yes, both films were really good.
Yeah.
But
nobody knew that going into it that it was going to be a good movie.
Right.
because everybody was saying, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be their first failure.
A movie about a guy who could shrink down really, really tiny? Okay.
It's almost the...
Paul Rudd superhero film? Really?
Okay. Yeah,
it's like they expect the Michael Bay strategy. Pick something that people would go see anyway, and then you could put anything on the screen you want.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be the case with, Inhumans. Nobody knows what the Inhumans are.
No.
That's why they're setting it up, so the Inhumans become the new X-Men as part of this continuity.
And they've got, another 3-4 years to set it up, so.
Exactly, which is why they're going to do a lot of that in the TV.
It's just killing me.
I have a feeling that that Captain Marvel is going to play into Inhumans as well.
Well, it has to because you have to have a Kree connection in that, or it just doesn't work.
So you're going to have that. You're going to have that build. But as far as a Black Widow story, well, one, where would you put it in the schedule? They could shuffle it.
Well, yeah, okay. The fact of the matter is that we know that the audience is there, but the people who actually control the pocketbooks of the studios,
yeah, you haven't proved it to them yet.
It doesn't matter how much we know it to be true. The fact of the matter is that nobody at these studios has ever gotten fired for not making a movie.
They're being ninny poos.
They've been fired for making movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been fired for making movies and don't work.
But they've never been fired for going, nah, we're not going to do that.
Well, it's always, it's the producers that ruin films because the artists involved, the director and the writers and stuff, they're looking to tell the best story possible and make the best film that they can. Producers are looking at the money.
To make the cheapest movie they can.
Where can they make the most money spending the least money?
You have that, plus you also have the fact that executives, even at the higher level, we see this with John Carter, executives at the higher level, they also have something to prove. And this schmo that was at the next tier down underneath me, he greenlit a project, and now we fired him, and now we've got this project that he started that none of us really want to have anything to do with, and we're going to do everything that we can to make it hard for this project to succeed. We saw this with John Carter. I don't think we're going to get that with any of the Marvel stuff, but you talk at the producer level, at the executive level, you also have politics at play into all of that.
Of course you do.
But I don't think that's going to be so much of a problem, especially now that it's just Feige reports to Horn, because Horn's going to let him do whatever he's going to do. Horn went out and bought Marvel because he knew Marvel will make them money. It's the same reason he went and said, hey, George, I got a check here for $4 billion. You want to sell me Star Wars? And who's making Star Wars? Lucasfilm. Disney's just sitting there going, here's the money. Go make your, go play in your sandbox. Just tell us when you're done.
So far the model is working because you would not get a show like Daredevil, and you certainly wouldn't get a show like Jessica Jones.
Mm-mm.
If they did not trust them to make it work, because we are about to get a show which is not a superhero show in any stretch of the imagination. It's a private detective show about a woman who is emotionally screwed up and...
Not for kids.
Yeah. And David Tennant, one of the most popular British actors in America, is going to play a mind-controlling rapist.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trusting the plots here pretty well.
He did play a pretty crazy character in the Harry Potter films.
Well, yeah, but this is a little bit different.
He's never played this kind of reprehensible monster before.
He didn't bad touch Hermione, so.
It still opens people's minds. Yeah, this is a good actor.
But people don't remember that. They're not thinking of, they think of him as Doctor Who.
And a lot of people look at all the Marvel stuff and they look at what Whedon did, Joss Whedon made these movies. But it's really Feige that's kept all of this stuff together. And to hear that Feige almost walked because of what Perlmutter had done to make things complicated, the fact that Feige was done, he was ready to leave in the middle of Avengers. Avengers 2, I think, is when it was. And that's what precipitated this move to get the studio out from under the creative committee. And now all of the movie stuff for Disney is now out of Burbank. It's nothing's coming out of New York anymore. And the conversation now on the interwebs is, what happens to the Marvel stuff if Kevin Feige ever leaves? That's
Warner Brothers offers him a giant check. Kevin, come over here. Make the
Kevin,
make the
we'll
DC Universe.
We'll trade you Zach for Kevin.
He's right? Probably under a non-compete clause, so there you go.
Oh, but you know what? You get a good high entertainment lawyer. You can get out of those.
That's true.
But that's the thing is if,
oh, sure.
If Feige ever leaves.
If you build anything on the back of one person and they step out, I mean, you can't. People were terrified that you couldn't have a Marvel film that wasn't Joss Whedon anyway. I mean, even though Joss Whedon hasn't directed all the Marvel films, it's just, there's a mindset about, it's a Joss Whedon project, right? So it'll happen. It's going to happen.
Oh, sure.
Which happens first, he leaves or the bubble bursts?
Hmm.
Does his leaving precipitate that burst? Mm-hmm. I think that's how it's going to go. At least on the Marvel side.
Kendall would tell you if he were here that that's way too long because he's pretty sure the bubble isn't going to last more than
Kendall
a couple
gives
years
it
anyway.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to look at right now. Marvel is holding that bubble up. For the most part, DC's seems to be riding that bubble right now.
Well, okay, but the problem again with DC, they've made one movie. And so they're making it. They're in the middle of making a second one
and multiple TV shows.
Well, yeah, and the TV shows have actually done pretty well.
That's Warner Brothers Television. That's completely different from Warner Brothers Pictures.
But it's the same bubble that it's riding right now. The popularity of the genre,
Sort of.
Okay, to some degree, yeah. But so comparing DC movies to Marvel, we're at this point we're talking
apples and oranges, basically.
Apples and
kumquats
and an orange
and a orange. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say those stinky fruits that you're not allowed to eat in public in Japan. That's kind of
that's really DC. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with the second DC movie,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then the third one and the fourth one, whatever that is. But
yeah.
Hey, so what do you think is going to happen on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Things will happen.
Things and stuff.
I disagree. I don't think anything's going to happen.
That was first season. That was season one.
Do it again.
More
broads, more pants, more sweaters.
That's Agent Carter.
That's Agent Carter, yeah.
But anyway, we will find out next week when the season kicks off on ABC on Tuesday, September 29th. Here. We will be back in our regular schedule. So what's going to happen is we watch the show, and then we record our discussion about the show,
mm-hmm.
and
then we get coffee.
It's up in the air whether or not we're actually going to have a video component this year. We've talked about a little bit, kicked around some ideas. We're going to have to talk about that a little bit more. But next week, we're back to our regular schedule on this show. Level 117 will be our Marvel discussion. As we've said before, you can join the discussion with your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your ideas, send us an email, level117@sci-fi-for-me.com. Or you can join us on the social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, Tumblr, and YouTube. And as always, you can leave comments on our main site, which is sci-fi-for-me.com. You can call our hotline, which is area code 573-42-SCI-FI. And that's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank everybody here in the bunker, Maya Aids.
Good night, folks.
Timothy Harvey.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Dan Henley.
Good night.
And our fresh meat, Curtis Smith.
Thank you so much, man.
And Christopher Pryor.
Sweet dreams, children.
And my name is Jason Hunt. Thanks very much for listening to this podcast here on Sci-Fi Premier Radio. We will be back in a week.
Good night.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.